You know, God will show you things the best he can. And as you grow and advance in him, he'll open more and more of your understanding in him. And sometimes he'll give you glimpses into certain operations of his spirit. And as you grow, he'll open it up. Now, today is a day of mysteries. Say mysteries. The kingdom of God is a mystery. He said, unto you it's been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom. There are some deep, call it the deep moments in the kingdom of God. He sent his Holy Spirit to help us. He didn't leave us on our own to the Bible. I mean, if we are left to our mind with the Bible, we're not going to get very far. How many of you ever read the Bible? It makes absolutely no sense to you. Raise your hand. It was never, it's never meant to be read with your own mind. It was meant to be read with the person of the Holy Spirit. He's there to help you interpret. It's a spiritual book. It's a very deep spiritual book, and you have to have the Holy Spirit to help you extract the revelation that's in that, because you try to approach it with your mind, it's probably going to be quite boring. The Holy Spirit makes it come alive. He brings those words off the page, and he brings life out of the Bible. And this is one of these mysteries he's been working with for a while, and I'm going to try to convey it. My job is to teach you some of these deeper mysteries of the kingdom, and sometimes that's easy and sometimes that's not so easy. Matthew chapter 6. So we're going to be talking about the eyes of the heart. Now you need to understand, you're a three-part being. You're a body, you have a body, but you have a spirit man that fits in that body. I mean, your body, it covers your spirit man like a glove covers a hand. And you have a soul, a mind, will, emotional faculties. And your spirit man is very advanced because it's been born in the image of God. It has a lot of capacity to understand and operate in God, but you have to be trained, taught to understand that. Amen? And so, the eyes of the heart, there are eyes, there's these eyes, and then there's the eyes of the heart. Today I want to talk to you about the eyes of the heart, how to see God. The Bible says the pure in heart would see God. That doesn't mean God is going to manifest to you when the natural eyes, you're going to see him. You're going to understand the invisible kingdom. You'll see into the visible realm. You'll see and understand the invisible realm through the eyes of the heart. What we want to do is learn how to tap into that operation. We're going to see how the Lord operated with the Father in this way. Almost everything he did, he foresaw it before he did it. Amen? And that was one of the great secrets to his operation. So Matthew 6 says, lay not up yourself treasure upon the earth where moth and rust doth corrupt, or where thieves break through and steal, but lay up yourselves treasure in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, nor thieves can break through or steal. For where your treasure is, there is your heart. So context of this, he's speaking of the heart here. Now he's going to say something very interesting. He says, the light of the body is the eye. Say, the light of the body. I mean, close your eyes. See, you don't see in the natural without these eyes. You can't see without these. You can open your eyes now. Those of you that are already sleeping, open your eyes. I hadn't even begun to put you asleep yet. Praise God. Amen. So now the light of the body's eye. Now it says, therefore thy eye be single. You have to understand a little bit about King James. That word single is kind of an interesting, very interesting word here. If you look down a little bit there in notes, it means to be whole, good, fulfilling its God-ordained office. That eye. Now he's not talking about this eye here, this natural eye. You have to understand that. He's talking about the inner spiritual man, the eye, or you can call it the eye of the heart. Your heart can see, by the way. In fact, we'll see through as we get through teaching this, you'll be able to see an invisible kingdom made visible through the eye of the heart. But what we want to do is fine tune this operation, amen? Learn how to tap into it, fine tune it. And the Lord has given me something for you to do that'll help this process. He says, now if your eye be whole, good, fulfilling its office, your whole body will be full of light. Now just drop down to that second paragraph for a moment, if you would there, that second scripture, Ephesians, to understand this particular operation. It says, cease not. We see Paul's, he's praying this. In fact, this prayer is what the Lord spoke to me this morning. He's three different times. He says, make sure to tell them to pray this prayer. So I'm telling you, pray this prayer. Amen. He kept saying, he says, tell them to pray this. Tell them to pray this. So I'm telling you, pray this. Look at your neighbor and say, pray this. Ephesians 1 verse 16 says, you cease not to give thanks. Cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, that's the Father, Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding. Now, if you got an NIV, here, NIV got it right here. King James kind of got it wrong. It's the eye of the heart. How many is your Bible says eye of the heart? Well, you're not looking at your Bible because you're looking at my page of notes here. But if you're looking at your Bible, it would say, if it was like an NIV or something, it says the eye of the heart. Say eye of the what? Eye of the heart. Say eye of the heart. Eye of the heart. Amen. Say eye of the heart. That the eyes of your heart be enlightened. That's what he wants you to begin to pray. That the eyes, say eyes. In the kingdom, your heart has eyes. Amen. In fact, Proverbs says, as a man thinketh in his heart. You can think with your heart. It's the seat core of your imagination. There's a mind, but there's a spirit man. I feel like the Lord's telling me to say this to you. In Luke 14, you remember when the rich man died? And the beggar on the Lazarus table, he wouldn't even give him his crumbs, and he ended up in hell, and the beggar was in Abraham's bosom. You remember that? And there was a great gulf back between Abraham's bosom and hell. Back then, the Old Testament saints were in a holding tank until the Lord came, and then he took them all out. He led captivity captive. But there was this big place, obviously, they could see into, because the rich man asked Abraham to send Lazarus, and he made cool his tongue. That he would dip his finger in water and cool his tongue because he was tormented in that flame. That's what he said. He was tormented in that flame. Now, let me ask you a question. If the rich man was in hell and Lazarus was in Abraham's bosom, where was their natural body? Where? Like about 6 foot under? So what tongue was he going to cool? What finger was he going to dip in water? Spiritual finger. Spiritual tongue. Emotions. Send Lazarus, so you have a spiritual body with the fingers and everything that this natural body fits over. All right? You have a spiritual mind. Now, that mind is the seat faculty of your new man. That spiritual mind is what scientists would call subconscious mind. It's able to receive a million bits of information per second. That's the one God likes to deal with, by the way. When I get revelation, he doesn't pass revelation through this mind. He passes into your spirit. When he does, he explodes it, and your whole spirit will see it. I mean, in the early days he'd do that, I would see everybody. I'm like, whoa, my mind was in massive overload, but my spirit could contain it. When I try to tell you, my words would literally babble because I couldn't get it out. Because my mind could only contain so much, but my spirit could understand. God likes to communicate with that man. Amen. It's that man that receives, and it's that man that sees. Amen. And that's the man, if we're going to be successful in the kingdom of God, we're going to have to get in touch with a new man on the inside of us. Amen. Remind of that movie, Cocoon. Everybody seen that movie, Cocoon? Those alien beings, they peel back that bodysuit, you know. And now, it's very interesting because he said, if thine eye... Now, speaking of, just read it like this. If the eye of your heart, say the eye of your heart, be single. Now, I don't normally do this, but the Holy Spirit says, I want you to dive into that word a little bit, single, a little more. I said, well, we already did that. He goes, dive further into the etymology root. And I don't normally get into that, the deep code, but I did that and found out something very interesting. It comes from two different words. You see that word G1 there. That's actually Alpha. Say Alpha. The Lord said, I'm the Alpha and the Omega. That's half that word. The other half is Pleco. So alpha pleco. That's actually how this word, I be single, was forged. So alpha pleco. Say alpha pleco. That's something you're not going to forget. Alpha pleco. Now it's interesting because one of the definitions of alpha is union. It's a union. And for this express word, it was denoting union. Pleco means to braid or intertwine like a basket. Is intertwined, like when you're weaving a basket. And I'm like, that doesn't make sense to me at all. If mine eye is weaved like a basket, how many of your eye has ever been weaved like a basket? I'm like, I'm trying to read that in. I'm like, Lord, I don't understand what you're saying here. If my eye be alpha pleco, weave like a basket, my whole body shall be full of light. You see, now God will talk to you like this. You just got to stay with him a little bit. And I'm like, I don't understand that. He goes, now you are... He said, eye of the heart, son. Read like that, eye of the heart. That eye of your heart be intertwined in a state of union with me. Weaved perfectly in harmony in a state of union with me. Then your whole body is going to be full of light. You're going to see the way I see. You're going to see what I want you to see. You're going to be where I want you to be. You're going to do what I want you to do. And you're going to be constantly in harmony with me because you're intertwined in union with me. I'm like, yeah. That makes sense. Amen. Say, weave me, God. Intertwine me, God. Now, the enemy knows this because everything your enemy does is a direct counterfeit from what God does. He also wants to intertwine you. He also wants to weave you. He just wants to intertwine you, or better word, entangle you with him. Shackle, entangle, intertwine you with his systems so you can't see properly. The whole kingdom of God is being able to see, because if you get out of alignment, you lose your ability to see. Oh, you can walk out that door and see that door, but you can't see spiritual things around you. You can't see the enemy is planning an assignment against your life. For youth, you can't see sometime what the enemy has planned to stop the progression of your life. I remember this guy, he was a friend of mine in high school. He was one of those running backs that every time you gave him the ball, I mean, it was goal line. He could hit that corner, and when he turned that corner, if there wasn't five guys in front of him, he's kind of like Devin. Where's Devin? Devin's in here somewhere. He's like Devin. I mean, that boy can run right there. I was watching that game. They were playing Carson, and they're on two opposite teams, and Devin broke out. I'm like, look at that guy run. And I was up there cheering for him, and I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. That's the other team. Man, this guy in high school, he could turn that corner like that, and he was destined. They were already looking at him. Colleges and everything, a sophomore. But he didn't realize he was very loose in his life, and he didn't understand the enemy had an assignment for him, too. He couldn't see that assignment, and he ended up falling away into drugs, and he ended up gave up that entire life. I mean, they were already offering him and looking at him as a sophomore. They're the scouts, because he was just that. He gave everything up. By the time he was a senior, he wasn't even playing anymore. Dropped out of school. He could not see the spiritual forces behind that, and he lost his future. He could have been in the NFL. It was that good. Sometimes we can't see, because the enemy wants to entangle our sight, our heart. See, the eyes in the kingdom you see with the heart. In the world, you see with the eyes. And if he entangles the heart, you lose the ability to see. He'll try to entangle your heart at every corner. Sometime with a relationship. Sometime with betrayal. Sometime with the world and its systems. Sometime with sin. Notice the next verse. If thine eye be what? The eye of the heart be evil. Now, we got in this Tuesday night. Very interesting verse there. Notice what it actually means. I have it there. Full of labor. Say full of labor. Annoyances. Hardships. This is actually what it means in the Greek. The word evil. Pressed and harassed by labors and toil. See, if your heart gets intertwined in the world system and is constantly being harassed, I mean, you know, the enemy, that's his tactic. He wants to harass you. You think he's just there to harass you, but he's trying to do is get your heart intertwined with his system to shut your light down where you can't see. And if he can take your sight from you, then he can, it's like blind leading the blind. You don't know where you're going. You're just waking up, making a living. Your whole life is just about waking up, make a living. Wake up, make a living. Until you're 70 or 80. I told somebody the other day, I'm like, I cannot believe we're already in holiday season. This year went like that. I mean, I'm like, Lord, they are getting faster by the year. And I truly believe the closer we get to eternity, the faster those years go. I mean, when you're in your teens, those years just drag out, I think. Mine did. It took forever to get 18. But to get to 30, it was like that. The 40 like that, and that's where I'm at, somewhere in the 40s. I think the closer we get to eternity, they go fast. And so they go, the Bible says your life's but a vapor. Listen, if all you do is live to make a living, you're missing the boat. God has a lot better leadership for your life than just making a living. But it requires that we see what he wants us to see. If your heart is full of tumultuous labor and annoyances all the time, you're going to find yourself constantly out of alignment, not being able to discern where you are, not being able to discern the voice of God. You are never going to find somebody who's going to hear the voice of God when their whole life is full of tumult and labor and annoyances. You cannot hear from God because God doesn't live in that kind of atmosphere. Neither does he speak in that kind of atmosphere. If you're trying to hear from God and your life is all, you got to get settled, quiet. God deals in a restful, quiet place. That's where he speaks from. Amen? And so the heart's epic center, everything. And when it's seated properly, it'll see properly. But if it's entangled, see, God wants your heart to be woven into union with him. The enemy wants your heart to be entangled into union with his system. The whole issue with the warfare around your life is not just to harass you. They want control of the heart. Because the heart's the birthing center. The heart is where the kingdom is ushered. Out of your innermost being flows the rivers of life. That's why he says guard the heart. But more importantly, guard the eye of the heart. Because if you lose your ability to see, your life becomes very foggy. How many of you were sharp at one time and all of a sudden you started waking up and just everything's foggy all the time? You don't realize that fogginess is spiritual atmospheres trying to offset where you're going and who you are. That's why it's just like a finely tuned athlete. You have to be on top of your game when you're walking with God. That's what we're here to teach you, how to walk with God. We'll teach you how to stay on top of your game. God's constantly tweaking us. Amen? So we can tweak you. Today is a tweaking day. Amen? So we're constantly tweaking because we want to, our heart, when it's interwoven into union, we'll see freely. The Bible says the pure in heart. Well, what? See. You can see, you'll move from glory to glory. When you can see, life is well. Amen? When you're properly seated with God, intertwined into union with God, you'll see who you are. You'll see where you're going. You'll see the enemy's assignments. You'll avoid many pitfalls in life. Amen? That's what God wants. Let's give him glory. Hallelujah. Now, of course, Jesus in the book of John, the first thing he came out with in John 3, he says, unless a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Isn't that interesting, the words he chose? It's your spirit and your new man and the heart seated in that new man. It gives you the capacity to see the kingdom. It's required of us if we're going to be successful in God to see things that are invisible to others. Now, look at this. In John chapter 5 is the back page. The scripture kind of got set there on the front page. But this is John 5. I want to point your attention to John 14. It says this. In John 14, 19, he says, a little while, the world shall see me no more. The Lord said, I'm leaving. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will, what? See me. But you're not going to see me in this flesh and blood that you're seeing me now. You're going to see me with my Father. But you're going to know where I am. You're going to know how to dwell there. You're going to see where I am. When the world cannot see, you see. Say, Father, open the eyes of my understanding that I may see. Open the eyes of my understanding. Listen, I have the youth in here today, and the young people. Listen, not everybody out there is your friend. You have to understand, not everybody out there is your friend. Not every guys, not every girl that comes around is your friend. Amen. Girls, not every guy that comes around is your friend. You need to see what's behind them. Sometimes they can come smiling, but there's something back behind that. If you walk with God, you'll see that. You'll avoid a lot of tragedy that happens. A lot of pitfalls. Some people get intertwined in the relationships to find out it was disastrous to begin with. You know, a lot of times God, as pastors, will see that. People will get into a relationship, will look at that, I'm like, that is not good. But they can't see it. They're headlong because their emotions are what? Entangled. But we see because we've been given capacity to see. We'll say, no, don't do that. Sometimes they listen. A lot of times they don't. Sometimes they'll come back and say, God, I wish I'd have listened. And so I said, I sure wish you would listen too. But even pastors, we can't see in certain areas. Sometimes we have to help seeing. Sometimes you're going to see a lot. The more advanced, the more mature you're in God, you'll see certain things. You'll see more. But even then, you have to have people to help you see. Anna can see things I can't see. Amen. Chuck can see things I can't see. I can see things they can't see. That's what we see. We have to be humble enough to discern, amen, because the Lord wants these eyes. Now, I want to look at this for the service. I want to look specifically at the Lord's ministry himself and his relationship, how it was intertwined with the Father. Because if it was intertwined with the Father, everything, say everything, he did. He did seeing it before he did it. How'd you like to walk like that? Seeing it happen before it happened. Seeing what his Father was doing before he did it. That's where we want to get to. Because listen, if you get to this place, when we get to this place, everything you do will be 100% success. God will never have you do anything that will not be 100% success. Everyone say, amen. So John 5, the scripture verse is actually on the... So, John 5, this is right after he healed that man. He walked into the pool of Bethesda. You remember that? That man had been 38 years. They were all laying around that pool and an angel would come and stir the waters. Every season, and whoever got in the pool first, they'd be healed. That's kind of like, that's great for the guy who could walk, but this guy's 38 years on his bed. Now, he just healed him. And, of course, the Pharisees, they were just upset about it. The real reality is he's walking in power. They weren't walking in. And so notice what he says. In verse 17, he says, Jesus answers, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Notice that. He did that, but he said, my Father's working, and I work. You see the intertwined union? Now watch what he says in verse 19. Very powerful, because I'm starting to understand this in a brand new way. And it's really shed, because what I'm learning to do is protect the eyes of my heart. Because I'm realizing all the enemy does, he really wants to shut the eye of the heart down. Because if he can shut that down, you lose your capacity to see, you lose your capacity to discern, and inevitably he's trying to set you up. Over time, you kind of learn this. I want to see some of this stuff before it happens. Amen? I want to see some of the pitfall. I want to walk. It's like nobody in here would walk off a cliff. But we walk off spiritual cliffs all the time. Because we can't see it. But God will show it to you if you walk with him. Amen? But it requires one thing. Intertwine the heart with me and you'll see. Intertwine the heart with the world and you lose your capacity to see. Amen? And you start following things. Ambition is thing. Sometimes people get ambitious and they want to follow out on ambition. Ambition will blind you. Got to have ambition that's surrendered to God. Amen? God likes to promote, but the enemy wants to promote the other way, through ambition. So notice what he says, verse 19. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son, say the Son, this is Jesus, can do nothing of himself. Listen, he knew his position already. He knew that even, see, he was Jesus, he was the Son of God, but he had to walk this out like you and I. He had to walk it in a surrendered place with the Father in perfect union. He said, I and myself can do nothing. But what? He sees the Father do. For what things soever the Father doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. Now notice this verse. He said what he sees the Father doing. The Father is not visible. The Father, to my knowledge, wasn't doing anything in the natural, but he was. Jesus saw all of that play out before it played out. He saw the man of Bethesda being raised up. He saw the Father doing it, and he followed right in along with it. The Father showed it to him before it happened. He walked into that situation knowing exactly what was going to happen that day. How would you like to wake up and know exactly what's going to happen in your day before it happens? Before it happens. That'd be kind of nice. Before you saw what God was going to do, you saw your boss was going to yell at you. Not me, not my staff. You saw your boss. I saw it, and you walked in prepared. You saw somebody was going to come at you, and you walked in prepared. Or you saw an opportunity, and you went through the door. You know God, I'm feeling the Spirit of the Lord, has doors for each and every one of us. That sometimes these doors, we're just asking him to open a door out there, and once we see the door, that's the door. Sometimes God wants to show us the door, and then we walk in it, in the Spirit. This is the realm God's trying to get us to see before. Amen? There's not one thing ever that caught the Lord off surprise. Caught him off guard. Not ever was he ever caught off guard. Oh, I was caught off guard by that. Not ever. When men would approach him, he already knew what was in their heart. He knew what they're saying. Many times he would answer them before they even started speaking. When his disciples would get all stirred up with the multitudes and they would bring it, he would already have the answer before they even opened their mouth. That's a light and a sight that he was walking by that we must obtain. Amen? That's coming from the eye of the heart. He goes, my Father doeth the work. He says, whatsoever I see my Father do, I just do it. That is a secret of all secrets right there. Whatsoever things he doeth the Son likewise. Now notice verse 20. I love this. For the Father loves the Son. Say, that's me. Say, that's me. and showeth him. Say, showeth him all things, not some things. How many of you have a hard time hearing from God? Raise your hand. Come on. How many of you need to hear from God right now? Raise your hand. How about that one? You need to hear from him about your future. You need to hear from him about what college you're going to. Some of those decisions, just don't throw that out there. You need to hear from him. It says the Father shows him all things that he's doing. Now say, that's the Lord. But what did the Lord say? He says, as the Father sent me, so I send you. You know what that means? As the Father was with me, he's going to be with you. So it's like this. I want you to put your hand over your heart. Just do it by faith. Even if you think I'm weird today, do it by faith. Praise God. I'm not weird. I'm peculiar. I'm a peculiar man. I got a spirit of peculiarity upon me. Hallelujah. Praise God. Put your hand over your heart. Say, Father, you love me. And you show me all things that you're doing. Not some things. All things. You show it to me. You put it before my eyes and my heart. You show me all things that you're doing. You show me you're with me. I can see what you do and what you do in Christ. I can do also. And so when you get to walking with the Father, he's going to lead you in some areas. I'll tell you something about the Father. He likes to dream with you. If you understand your Heavenly Father, when he came to Abraham, he wanted to dream with him. He said, dream with me, Abraham. Constantly showing him things so large and so big, so far beyond even his generation. Stars of the heaven, these are your descendants, Abraham. Sand of the seashore, these are your descendants. Look at this land. Walk the breadth of it if you can. It's all yours. This is the way God is. He's huge. And he's large, and he likes to dream large. He likes to expand your tent. He wants to expand your belief system. The difficult part I've had with this is like, God, you speak in all of this huge. You're always speaking huge. I mean, God is always speaking big. But then, when I look at my life, everything's so little. Taco stand. Church with a taco stand. But he never stops speaking out like that. He never gets on your level. Only to love you will he get on your level. But when it comes to vision, he wants you on his level. He wants you to see what he sees. He wants you to believe what he believes. Because listen to me, something about God. He does not see you the way you see you. He doesn't see your future the way you see it. He sees it much larger. And we got to get in tune with him, because we have to get in alignment and intertwine in union with the Father. We'll start dreaming his dream for our life. You have a dream for your life. The devil has a dream for your life. And the Father has a dream for your life. And people have a dream for your life. Those are four arenas. You have a dream. People have a dream. The devil has a dream. The Father has a dream. When you get in union with the Father, he'll start dreaming with you. And he'll start opening your eyes to see. He'll teach you how to see. It's what he does. I can't sit here and talk to you how to see. That's his job. I can just show you the Lord did it. Everything the Lord did, he goes, and the Father will show you greater things than you're seeing today. Look at that. They just saw a man 38 years raised to the dead. He said, the Father will show you greater things than this. He showed, the Father showeth the Son all things he's doing. He will show you greater. Say greater. He was looking in to the born again. He was looking into a whole brand new breed of born again sons and heirs of God right there. Like I get in that scripture with you. That's what he was talking about. He's showing you greater things. Not only am I going to do it, but I'm about to raise a whole breed that's going to do what I do with the Father. Isn't that glorious? But the Lord, the secret was, I can preach to this all day long, the secret is being intertwined. Intertwined in union with the Father, you'll start automatically dreaming His dream. It'll be automatic. God is going to share His dream with you. Amen? Let's give God glory. Hallelujah. Notice this, verse 30. I, Jesus, in my own self can do nothing. He says it again, but what I hear. I'm not talking about these natural ears. You know, everything he was doing by intertwining with the Father. I'll judge by what I hear the Father saying. But he was intertwined with him. You see that? The mystery of the kingdom is the intertwining of the heart. When you intertwine the heart, you automatically see, you automatically judge, you automatically know. We're trying to see, judge, know, and operate, but we're not intertwined. We're not going to be able to see, know, judge, and operate if we're entangled with the world. Amen. Brother Matthew 13, that last chapter there, that last verse. His answer said, because it's unto you it's given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But notice what he says. He goes, there are those out there. Verse 13, therefore I speak to them in parables because they see, seeing not, hearing, they hear not. They cannot see, they cannot perceive. Look at verse 15, and the people's heart is waxed gross, their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes, say their eyes, have been closed. It wasn't these eyes, the other eye. Now notice this, verse 16. But blessed, say blessed, are your eyes, for they see. Now, in closing, my last close, I want to give you some things to do to help with this. The first one is pray the prayer. Father, enlighten the eyes of my heart. Say, eyes of my heart. And I want you to begin to say, blessed this week are my eyes, for they see. Kingdom of God. Blessed are my eyes, for they see. Sometimes the difference between the next level is being able to see it. Amen. One door, seeing the door, being in the right place at the right time. One door. Say one door. Blessed are my eyes that see, and my ears say that hear. It will say, blessed are my eyes that see, my ears that hear. Blessed are the eyes of my heart. Open the eyes of my heart. For let all the fog be removed. Let all the darkness. Father, detangle the eyes of my heart from the world. Detangle the eyes of our hearts that we may see. That we may see. Intertwine me, Father. Intertwine me. Intertwine my heart that I may see. That I may see. That I may see. You know when the Lord took them out in the deep? You know He knew exactly where He was going? He knows where the fish are. He knows where the blessing is. He knows where your advancement is. He knows where your next door is. Amen. Let's give God glory. Hallelujah. Bless, say, blessed are my eyes that see. That see. The closer you are to Him, the more you're going to see. Amen. Now listen, if you're entangled and you've got a lot of warfare around your life, a lot of pressure, a lot of annoyances around your life. I was just with somebody this recently and just annoyance everywhere. Can't see when you're in the middle of annoyance. Can't see anything. You got to get into a place of the rest. Amen. Say, labor to enter into the rest. The rest. We can see where we're going. Amen. Thank you, Father, for your words. Thank you, Father, for your words. Thank you, Father, for the eyes of the heart, for enlightening, enlightening, enlightening. Blessed are our eyes that see. I want you to begin speaking that all week long. Blessed are my eyes that see. Say it like this. Blessed are the eyes of my heart that see. See what you're doing. Here's another one. Father, you show with me all things that you're doing. God is not hiding from you. Sometimes we can't see because our heart's entangled. Father, say, Father, thank you. You showeth me all things that you're doing. You show it to me. All things that you're doing. This one area, the Father can so tune you into your future in ways with His love and His glory and His grace that could birth things that you could never birth. But I just got through with a round with the enemy, and he is so skilled in offsetting your position. I didn't lose my salvation. I didn't sin, but he offset me through a system of annoyances that offset me. And where I was for a whole year, he offset that. It's taken me 2 months to get back there. When you get offset, sometimes you just don't get right back where you're at. How many of you have been on top of the mountain? Just can see everything. Everything is just, I mean, it's like lightning. It's like thunder. I mean, but it's just, you can see, you know, your discernment, you're sharp. I mean, life's a joy. How many of you have ever been there? How many of you moved out of that place into a fog? And like, what happened? I'm in a fog. And it's like the Bible calls someone like a drunken stupor. It's like, what happened? How do I get from there to here? That's enemy you have to overcome. That's the enemy you have to realize. How did he take you from that place? Once you recognize him and you have the skill to recognize him, I'm talking to the mature here right now. You'll get back to where you are. And you'll move from glory to glory. And you'll advance. You will overcome. And you will graduate. Because I sense in my spirit there's some people about to graduate. I actually sense in my spirit that this house, as a corporate house, is about to graduate. And to graduate, we have to learn the ways and the operations of God. Some person's graduation may not be your graduation. Don't put yourself in their shoes. Sometimes God has something for you. It's going to require a lot of spiritual skill. And you have to learn that skill to go to the next level. Sometimes God is setting you there. It's having the skill to stay there. What some people don't realize is you want to graduate, you want to be in the next level, and you want God to pluck you up from where you're at and put you at the next level. But to do that, He knows what's in the next level, and you don't. He's got to give you certain skill to handle that next level, or you'll become a casualty of war. And God does not promote casualty. He's promoting spiritual skill. It's just like school. You have to learn certain things to graduate. It's not any different in the kingdom. So what you got to do is find out, what is it you want me to see? That needs to be your prayer. God, sometimes I'm not done. I'm trying to get done. What is it you want me to see? Sometimes there's something about you He's going to show you that nobody else can see. That's the hardest part ever, is seeing something about you. That's hard. Everybody can see it, but you can't. If there are veils, you can't see it. Sometimes He wants to show you something about your future. Sometimes He wants to show you something about relationships you're in. Sometimes He's going to show you different things. He will show you all things. Say, Father, keep that word, keep that promise. You show with me all things that you're doing. You show me all things. You show me all things. He's going to do that with the eyes of the heart. Amen. Let's give God glory. Praise God. Let's all stand.